Hi guys, welcome to our channel. Like they say. Okay, welcome to Love the Jesus Way podcast. Happy New Year. Happy. Why is my co-host not talking?
Are we supposed to talk together?
Yes, we are supposed to talk together.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, guys. Just in case you're wondering, of course, you shouldn't be wondering by now. But anyways, my name is Faith and I have the man of God here with me. His name is Ebenezer.
Thank you very much.
And together we will be hosting this awesome podcast.
Yay!
Sound effects. Okay, so today we're going to be discussing something that is very, very, very common yet very, very what's the word?
Controversial.
Ah, my guest is already speaking.
She's already ready.
Guest minister, man. You wait. Let me introduce you first. Something very common but very controversial. We talk about it a lot everywhere on social media, physical meetings, everywhere we talk about it. And today we're talking about drum roll. Today we're talking
sex.
Why did you call it like that? It's passion.
You have to be passionate about it.
Today we're discussing sex. Yes, sex. That's S-E-X. We're going to be dissecting. We're going to be talking about it through the help of the Holy Spirit. And to help us today, we have two. You know, let me just leave the introduction to Ebenezer.
I don't think you should know. We have two powerful ministers of God who have been cooked in the word of God and in the prayer room. it's been a brother and a sister. They're brothers and sisters in the family. They blessed us so much. With us we have Joshua David and Atule David. Yes, they are married, by the way. That's why. He's a prophet by call, and he's an apostle and an evangelist. Woo! So this is going to be a spiritual conversation. Be ready to be mind blown, and the Holy Spirit will fill you wherever you are.
Glory! So you're welcome, mommy. You're welcome, daddy. You're welcome, sir. You're welcome, bro. You're welcome, sis. Please say something to our people now.
Hello, praise God.
Hallelujah.
You see, you said we started
praise God.
We're grateful to God for all things, and we're grateful for the opportunity to be able to discuss as brethren. And the Holy Spirit would teach us all things and show us all things, especially with this very sensitive, controversial topic. Yes, ma'am.
There's nothing else for me to say now. You said everything.
Please don't be deceived by their sweet tone of conversation.
Warning.
Trust me.
What do you guys mean?
Trust me.
What do you guys mean? If you came here with a table, please return it. Please return it. Alright, so we'll just be going straight into it. We have some questions that will just guide us on this path. Those questions are what we'll use to discuss it. But before we even get to the questions, let's just discuss sex itself. What is this sex that we're talking about? Why are we even talking? Is it that important that we're talking about it? So over to you, sir.
Alright, so as a point of departure, as a starting point generally.
Point of departure.
Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
We are going somewhere.
So the topic of sex has been over the years one of the most daunting things that has happened to mankind. You've seen entire nations being torn apart by sex. You've seen great athletes lose their entire livelihoods because of this issue of sex. You've seen even ministers of God, even within the Christendom, you've seen people, almost lose everything that they have because of sex. And this is something that has been ravaging the world with several effects and consequences here and there. So what exactly are we talking about when we say sex? Is it just the physicality of it? Is there more to it? Is there something that we should be talking about based on our precept as Christians, based on the scriptures? You know, so first of all, I think that we should know that everything we're going to discuss, you know, is going to be within the boundaries of scripture.
Exactly.
Because again, our standpoint is the standpoint of the scriptures. Mm-hmm. We do not take reference from anything that does not align with scripture. So I don't care whatever any marriage counselor, sex counselor, whatever you call those
sex
things, sex therapist. that's not where we take, you know, our foundation. Our root is based on the scripture. Everything we're going to discuss is based on scripture.
Yes,
so ma'am. we're not doing some, oh, this is how it happened, this is what is trendy, or this is what people say. No, what has scripture said? What is God's opinion about sex? Is it just the, oh, man and woman have sex? Or is it even as we see nowadays, man and man, and man and beast, or man and animal, whatever? So our standpoint is scripture, and I think that the word of God is actually where we can start from, because I mean that's where all things begin. All right, all things were made by Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. Praise God.
Hallelujah! Yeah. Wow. All right.
The missus.
I should always start because once he talks, there's nothing else to say. Okay, so sex. Sex is, first of all, we need to understand that sex is a mystery. It is not just the physical action of organs uniting. That is not just all that sex is. It is sex. Sex is deeper than that. And to understand sex, you have to understand scripture and the intent for which God created it. God doesn't do anything just because. There is always serious intent between everything that God does. And we know that God has ordained sex, or God created sex. So we need to understand now that it is not the perversion that the world has made it to be. It is not, sex is intentional. It is a ministry of its own.
Wow.
So yeah.
I think that just brings us to the first question. So, what was God's original intention for sex?
Over to you, sir.
Okay. Again, praise God.
Hallelujah.
So I like to find things and exhume kind of thing, you know, and find where did this start. So if we look at scripture, the first point, the first place where the action of a man and a woman having sex was recorded in Genesis chapter 4. And Adam knew Eve. Alright? And they begat something, alright, or someone. So that's the first point where we see that action. Some translations say knew, some translations say Adam lay with Eve. Alright? So if we look at that carefully, we also need to see that the word that was used for new or lay is the word yada, yada. Now yada means actually to know, but to know as in to know intimately. All right, now it also means to perceive. All right, it also means to be one with. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It means to be one with. So if what God, or if what scripture meant there is Adam was one with Eve and they begat Cain, right? Does that not show us that the actual physicality of sex is a unification of two people? Now, in this case, for us as believers, in the context of marriage, it is not just a unification of two people, because marriage is man, woman, and God at the center, right?
Yeah.
So when you have that unification in that intimate relationship, it also shows a sense of fellowship, right?
Mm-hmm.
So sex is not a It's not just the physical action of the man and the woman, and they pounce each other and that's it, and then they are done and they move on, and somebody is pregnant and the person gives birth and that's all that there is to say. Oh, I enjoyed it. No. All right. If we look at that, another thing is that there are times in scripture where the word for sex changes per context.
Okay.
I'm going somewhere.
Yes, we know. We're going with you, Stephanie.
the first thing we have been misled to think is that sex is a physical action and the man and the woman will enjoy it, and when they are done, that's it. Mm. Or maybe the consequence of sex is maybe a child, procreation. That's another thing that has happened in the body of Christ for too long. We have focused on the issues that sex brings. So, for example, you hear sermons like, don't have sex because you would have an unwanted child. Don't have sex because you can get STDs or STIs. Mm. Don't have sex because when you have sex, and then as a young lady or as a young man, if you conceive, if a lady conceives, and after all of that, you can't finish school, the person's life becomes a dropout. We have had conversations around the things that comes after sex, but those conversations don't actually address the subject of the sex itself, which is what God is actually after. It's not the aftermath of it. Somebody that gets pregnant and stops school, all those things are redeemable things, but there are certain things that are things that happen during sex that it might take
irredeemable,
that are almost irredeemable, except for grace. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Sex could also signify the design of the Trinity. In the New Testament, part of the things that was used to describe sex was the word ginosko, G-I-N-O-S-K-O. That word means fellowship. In John chapter 1, or John chapter 14 rather, when scripture was Jesus said, I know my sheep. The word there is the same word that was used for sex. So what do you think Christ was saying? He said, I know my sheep, and my sheep knows me. I have an intimate relationship with my sheep, and my sheep has an intimate relationship with me. And somebody opens his mouth to say sex is just an action.
Okay.
You see, and this is just baseline. This is just foundational. If we begin to now break these things down and pick up, one by one to get to where we're going, this is just foundational.
Wow.
The design for sex is not the aftermath that we are running after. The design for sex is that within the context of marriage, the wife and the woman have a bonding and a fellowship that reflects the bonding and the fellowship that the believer would have with the Holy Spirit. That is where we are going to. That's the crux of the matter. The crux of the matter is not you have sex, you unwanted pregnant. The reason we will not have sex outside marriage is not because of unwanted pregnancy. The reason we will not have sex outside marriage or before marriage is not because you will contact an STI. And I greatly regard those things. I mean, those things are they are part of the things that are deterrents.
But they're fickle.
I understand, but they're fickle.
Compared to...
They're fickle. It's not, that's why the issue of soul ties, issues of two people who have sex, it's just physical, and that's not what it is. Somebody quoted Apostle Paul saying in the book of Ephesians, 1 Corinthians, that Apostle Paul talked about sex and all of that at the time. And I think we should just address some of these things quickly. At the time, people were going to the temple to fellowship with what was called temple prostitutes. Why they were doing that was because the religion they were coming from, having sex with temple prostitutes was part of their worship. Why do you think the devil will make sure that people will have sex with temple prostitutes as part of worship if sex is not a spiritual thing? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If sex is not spiritual, why is the devil demanding for it as part of worship? Why are demons that are in charge of those temples and shrines demanding for sex
as a sacrifice,
as part of your worship? And that's what Paul was addressing, that you cannot do this because your body do not belong to you anymore. Your body is now joined with one. Mm. And remember that Christ has said it, that I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Remember that that know is intimate. Mm. So if your body is joined with Christ intimately, how can you join your body with an idol intimately? That is the crux of the matter. It is not the fickle things that we are addressing. We're not addressing unwanted pregnancy. If you get pregnant unwanted, we pray for you. The Holy Spirit will take control of all things.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? That's not the issue. You get STI, you can be healed in an instant. Mm. That's not the crux of the matter. Yes, those things are deterrents. I mean,
wow.
You know, over the years, working with young people and all of those things, especially with secular NGOs, you hear people say abstinence has failed. Preach protection. And I'm like, how, when did we get here? We should be teaching that the joining of two people, the joining of the bodies of two people, is not just physical. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
See, I think it's Genesis chapter 14, when the daughters of Lot laid with him, remember?
Yeah.
All right, and then they gave birth to Moab and Ben-Ami. All right, let's even go into what those things mean as in what they gave birth to. Yeah. Let's go there. Let's just stay with the matter of the sex. The word you used there for that sex, for the laying of the daughter and the father, was not the word you used for fellowship, because that's not a type of fellowship.
Mm.
The word used there was skabab. Skabab means a transfer. Right? A transfer. Several things. It could mean a transfer of bodily fluids. It could also mean a transfer of soul ties. Alright? So, the devil knows these things. That is why he wants the issue of sex to be as loose and rampant as it is. Somebody 20 years later is fighting and is complaining and is praying, Holy Spirit, what is happening and all of these things. But the devil knew what he did long time ago, where he made him have an intimate relationship with somebody, and there has been a deposit of some sort. Some of these things don't manifest in the life of the host, because these things can be transferred. The same way we transfer genes physically, we transfer spiritual genes.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So if that is right, it means that spiritual genes can be transferred such that if the effect of some of these things might not manifest even with the person, it could be in their children.
Yes.
So you are now asking and praying, Holy Spirit, why are these children like this? And it's looking at you.
Planted the seed.
These things have been planted long before. So the issue of sex is not physical. That's the first thing. That's the first level that we need to. Sex is not just a physical action.
Wow.
There is more and more and more and more and more to it. I don't know. The Holy Spirit will help us to continue to break these things down.
Amen.
But as for baseline, the issue of sex is not. Sex is not a physical action. It is communion. It is fellowship. It is fellowship. It is a knowing.
Mm.
It is knowing. It's not just, you know, like Ebenezer always says, hang on the fan. And then, no. Praise God.
But you can come in and get on the fan. I'm just saying.
Sex is communion.
Okay, that's some tables already.
That was very deep. Very, very, very deep.
Okay. Deep. This place is getting hot already.
To adjust my seat.
All right, Mrs. What do you?
Okay. So I don't know where to start from again. He has taken bits and pieces of everything that I wanted to say and put them together. So when the Bible we see that when they're talking about Adam and Eve, they said, and the two became one. Now, the two, let's put them apart, let's put them as individuals now.
Okay.
As a human being, you are made up of spirit, soul, and body. So, when you say the two became one, we are not just talking about them becoming one just in body, which is the physical action, which is what we can see, but you are becoming one in soul, you are becoming one in spirit, and you are becoming one in body. Because man is not just body. Man is spirit, soul, and body. So when somebody, I think I saw it somewhere, when someone said sex is just a physical activity, there is no biblical proof for soul ties. And I ask myself, do you not know that as man, as a human being, you are not just body? There is absolutely nothing you do or nothing you are or nothing you say that is just body. In everything, in every way, in every place, you are spirit, soul, and body. But we have spent so much time feeding just the body that we forget. So now we say, and the two have become one. So you unite physically, which is the physical action of sex. You unite spiritually. So both spirits become one. Never forget that. By the marriage is threefold cord. So your spirit, the spirit of God, and the spirit of your spouse become one at that point. There is no other time when man has that opening, that period of a time in time when you are completely in sync. Except in sex. I mean, you come before God, you worship, you all of that, but there is no other point in time, which is why the devil has worked extra hard to pervert sex. There is nothing else that has been perversed as much as sex. You go online, you see pictures, you know, there is masturbation, there is homosexuality, he's working overtime to pervert, because like my husband said, he understands the severity of sex. He understands how serious sex is, what sex is, and so he's working overtime to pervert it. And then you hear some people say, and forbidden fruit. I remember after we got married, a friend of mine asked me, and I'm sure she's listening now. I know she didn't mean it like that, but it got me thinking. She asked me, said, so now you've eaten the forbidden fruit. And it is something that has being taught to us unconsciously that sex is the forbidden fruit. Yeah. Sex is not the forbidden fruit. How can something God created for unification be the forbidden fruit? It doesn't make any sense if you think about it. It doesn't make any sense that you will call sex the forbidden fruit. Sex is not just for pleasure and for reproduction. Those are the mundane things that sex provides. It is for fellowshipping. It is at that point you this is plus 18. So at that point of orgasm, there is a feeling the body has that is, you are, it's almost, you can almost feel like you are being lifted out of the body. Yes. which is what they try to which is what they try to achieve by using stimulants and using drugs and using, there is an out of body feeling you get at that point. And it's because at that point you are not just, it is not just the body anymore. The three have aligned.
They have
taken a lift. There's a lift at that point in time. There is a pure communion, a pure fellowship with God at that point in time. So, you know, in this my small, you know, some of we can't, my husband is the exegesis, you know, breakdown words. We go straight to the point.
Okay.
Wow. All right. Wow, that was explosive. Okay, so now we want to look at it from this aspect. So we say sex, like Missy said, she mentioned that she heard that some people said sex is just a physical action. Now, that might be because sex is a result of a particular thing called lust. So there's a tree called lust, and then the fruit of the tree is called sex. So now I want to ask, is sex a determinant for love?
All right. Praise God again.
Hallelujah again.
So, now there are a few things that we need to understand and just get together as believers, as Christians, within the confines of the principles of Scripture. So, first of all, our yardstick, the measuring point for fornication, for sex outside the confines of marriage, is not the action of sex. Our yardstick is the thought. You know, Jesus said expressly that it is not just when you go and have sex with the woman. Mm-hmm. When you've even conceived the thought, yes, you have committed the sin.
Yeah.
So we have people who have sex, believers who have sex, anybody who has sex outside marriage has fallen low, so low below the standard. The standard is not sex. The standard is the thought. And that's where the issue of lust that you mentioned comes in. Okay? So, sex is an aftermath of the lust. Hmm. For example, you know, Scripture says, guard your heart with all diligence. Okay? So, instead of putting gates in your heart, depending on and creating boundaries for the type of things that we consume. You know, this morning we put up something on one of our platforms. It's not just music. That song is not just music.
No, it's not.
It's not just. It's not. You know that thing you see on your on the website. It's not just a pop-up image. No, it's not just a random video. It's not just comedy. It is war for the soul. It is dominion. It is war for dominion. Mm. So whatever what we are consuming will determine what will come out. So if you are consuming things that will fuel lust, and you say you don't want to have sex before you get married, it doesn't work that way. Consuming things that will fuel lust, consuming things that will predominantly keep creating that hunger and that passion. And that's what Apostle Paul was talking about when he was saying that if you know you can control the passion. He wasn't just talking about the bodily, physical feelings. Yes. He was saying, if you know you can abstain from the thing, that's why he said, auntie, if you are a virgin and you know you want to stay, keep yourself. The keeping yourself is not just, oh, close your leg, don't have sex. No. It is in what are you consuming? Are you doing things that are fueling your passion to not have sex? And then you say, oh, I'm a virgin, I don't want to have sex. Do you understand what we're saying?
Yeah.
Are you, as a man, are you doing things that will fuel your passion and then you say, oh no, I want to keep my, I want to be celibate? It doesn't work.
Are you cohabiting?
Exactly.
Exactly.
Are you cohabiting?
Exactly. This business of cohabiting. You cannot cohabit. As a man, no, I'm sorry. You cannot cohabit and decide that in your you see, Scripture says you cannot put coal of fire. I tell you, he said you put coal of fire in your laps, and you expect that you will not be burnt.
No.
He said that is what it is when a man goes into his wife's neighbor. His neighbor's wife, Jenny. Do you understand what we're saying?
Yes, sir.
You see, you cannot be walking in the territories of such, and you see, you cannot marry the devil's daughter and say you don't want his father to visit.
Your father-in-law. Your father-in-law must visit.
Your father-in-law will visit you.
Definitely.
You cannot say, oh,
he will buy bread.
Exactly. And so you cannot determine, you can't determine what will happen during that visit.
Yes.
You
yes.
can't determine the boundaries of it. You can't say, oh, we're cohabiting. There is nothing. Oh, it is within the confines of marriage and within the confines of, oh, we're friends.
You see, there's no physical attraction.
So my brother and my sister, you have a body. You have a body that will ask for certain things, and this is not it's not like we are, and I'm not trying to jab anybody. It's not like we are so disciplined to the extent where, oh, whatever happens, you can lock yourself in the room. No,
Jesus,
you will be. See, what happens most times is that those two people would have finished the sex several times, and they'll be running on the floor asking the Holy Spirit to forgive them. The Holy Spirit is merciful; He will forgive you. But even in that forgiving you, what has been done? What has been done? And that is the thing. So what we must guard against is what goes into our minds and goes into our souls that produces the fruit of lust that eventually produces this sex. So the sex is just the end point. There are several things. It's a chain reaction. Sex is the last thing. Sex is the last thing. They are watching MTV, Christian. They are watching channels that will propel certain things every time. That is where your mind is. You are listening to secular music that talks about sex and romance. That is all that you are consuming. And then you expect that your passions will not burn. When those passions begin to burn, you will not now see somebody that you would be attracted to. I put attracted to. You know, in quotes, you will say you are attracted to that person. At the end of the day, the attraction you have is something that wants to fulfill a desire that you have been fueling. It's not an attraction, no. It is, like I said, it's a chain reaction. It is you give and you take. So you have found something so much that also begins to attract what will fulfill that reaction. So when you do that, I say, oh, Holy Spirit, forgive us. I mean, He's merciful, He will forgive. But if you do not stop the entry point, this will keep occurring. It will keep happening.
Yes.
So sex outside marriage is not a determinant for love. In essence, what is love in itself? What is the yardstick for measuring love?
That's a whole
thing. Because when we say is sex a determinant for love, they ask you, what is the yardstick for measuring love? The word determinant is objective. It relies on. When you do this, it shows that this has, yes. You understand? So that is sex. You ask yourself, what is love? What are the parameters within which love is practiced? Then within that parameters, is sex available there? Is sex part of what you used to say? Oh, this person claims that he loves me. And this issue of, will I not test something before I buy another of those kind of things? You know, how did we get here as Christians?
No, I mean, you tested and trusted, okay.
Did Jesus test you before he bought you?
Thank you very much. Okay. You see, we were bought with a price.
Yes.
You know, when Jesus went to pray, you know, just before he was taken, people would think that he was praying because, he was overwhelmed and all of this. Yes, he might have been overwhelmed because he was a man, and then he could feel the weight of the entire world coming upon him. But when he prayed, what did he say? He said, Father, leave this cup can pass over me. He said, but not my will. He said, your will be done. So the entirety of what we do is to yearn for his will. If that is what we are doing, if we are yearning for his will, is sex a determinant of love? Did Jesus say, oh, Father, let me check them out first?
Let me test the waters.
Jesus wasn't checking us out before he died for us. And remember, we have talked about this before. We said that one of the places where we see love is in the action of redemption. The action of redemption was not... The only thing you are asked to do is to just receive. Say, I accept that you did this. You are not asked to bring something. I accept that you did this for me. When you come inside, we will discuss every other thing.
Yes.
As long as you are outside redemption, we don't need to discuss anything. All you need to do is accept.
Accept what has been done.
Accept what has been done. When you are now a believer, then we now begin to discuss the modus operandi of this new kingdom.
Yes, sir. Talk to me, sir.
Preach on, pastor.
So you ask yourself that question again. Is sex a determinant for love? If sex is what we have called it as a unification, all right? Do you unify before the marriage?
Is it not the marriage that makes you unified?
It is the marriage that creates that unification. When you are now unified, you now express that fellowship through sex.
Okay.
And that is why you see these things, the breadcrumbs are everywhere in scripture. They are everywhere. I mean, we were just talking now where we're looking at Hosea chapter 2. That entire not even the chapter, the entire book.
Yeah, it talks about
it. Talks about the an exemplification of the love.
Yes.
Especially this, you know, leaving the 99 to look for the one thing.
Mm.
Hosea married a woman, a prostitute, who will go back.
Yeah.
To the point where she was prostituting. And then Hosea, God will tell Hosea to go back there. And
bring her back.
And
home.
He will even pay. He will pay.
Oh,
he said, can I pay and stand in line? And wait in. Can I, no, the question there is, can I pay a day's worth so I can have you?
Mm.
Are we getting it? Christ has paid the worth so he can have us. Christ did not ask first, can you show me your true color? Because that's what we do when we say sex a determinant for love. He said, can you show me your true color? Let me see your true color first before I now know whether you love. Mm-mm. That was not Christ's agenda. He paid the entire worth.
Mm.
He said, even when we were yet enemies.
Mm.
So sex is not a determinant for love in any way.
That's good.
Oh, no.
Once we, you see, the thing is, most times we as believers think that, and it's one of the things that the devil is doing. He's changing the meaning of words.
Yes.
He's making us lose focus of the actual intention of God and the scriptures when particular words are used. So right now, I mean, February is coming. Everybody, love.
All you need is Jesus. That's
all right, you know, so the word love will be used everywhere for anything.
Yeah.
How many people actually know or understand this love, the person of love? You don't have the person of love and you are preaching love up and down. How you can't, you will perverse it.
No way.
There is no way. That is why you would think that sex is the medium of showing how much you love a person. It is not. Sex is just is by the side. It's not the main thing. Jesus did not test you. Why do you want to test the sister or the brother? Did he say, okay, wait first, God, let me see the kind of people they are. Let me know, okay, if I can save this one, if I cannot save this one. If he had done that, the thief on the right would not be in heaven now.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be in heaven.
You see, these matters that we're discussing, I mean, it is very touchy for a lot of people. People would say, oh, no. You can't talk about things like that. Love is two people that are together. You know, all those things that they say.
Obawa is featuring in the podcast. Sorry. Also.
That's my son. Sorry.
Obawa, we feel you, bro. Okay.
All right. So sex is not a determinant for love.
No, it's not.
All right. We see love in the expression, the action of redemption. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You see, let's look at another example quickly. Look at Abraham. At the time he wanted to, God asked him to bring Isaac as a sacrifice. When he was about to, you know, take the knife down, and God said, stop, and God showed him. Right? And he said, see, that animal. Why do we think that, what was that expression about? The totality of what God stands for is in his ability to, at the very verge of that thing, show you who his true person is. So our so-called sacrifices is not what God needs.
Mm.
There is a total obedience and total submission that he is looking for. That even in the face of what seems to be extremely painful, even in the face of that, you can still obey totally. That is the action of someone who loves. That is somebody that is expressing love. The person that is testing waters and want to test you with sex before the marriage, what type of love has that person expressed? Has the person shown what love actually is? Or is that person just trying to check and see things like, oh, sexual compatibility and all the other things that they say. I know that you guys will still get there. So don't let us just get there now. Okay, so first of all, no, sex is not a determinant for love. You cannot even show love without, especially within the context of a man and a woman. All right, look at Joseph and Mary. How do you think Joseph would have felt in Hosea chapter 2? I would encourage everybody to read that particular chapter and then dwell in verse 19 to 20. How do you think Joseph would have felt? Someone who was betrothed to him comes to him to tell him that,
my dear, baby.
Do you see the contrast between that and where we are now? The norm right now, Seth, is that some families would believe that anxiety. Do you see how far we have come from the standard? It took an angel to convince Joseph.
It took
an angel to convince him that, guy, calm down. This woman, this baby is from the Lord. So you see how far we have come from what the standard is. There is a standard, and it is that standard that we need to follow. Sex is not a determinant for love. In actuality, when a man and a woman has sex outside marriage, because of what that sex means, it is difficult to express love after that. And I'll explain. Let's look at this. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
The sex that the daughters of Lot had with their father, right? Produced two tribes in the children of in the Bible. Moabites. Those two tribes were the Moabites and the Ammonites. What were those two tribes known for?
War against Israel.
See, the everything that comes out of sex in its perversion cannot be clean.
No.
It takes the cross to clean up that thing. So everything you say, oh, he loves me, and that's why we are having sex that before we get married. The love from that sex is not clean, it's not clean. Pure. Whatever comes out, every fruit. You cannot be having sex outside marriage or having perverted sex, because sex outside marriage is perverted sex. It's a perverted fellowship. You cannot be having perverted fellowship that is most likely incensed by demons. And you claim that what will come out of that sex
is love.
And you say it is the love of the father. It's not possible.
Maybe godfather. Maybe not the father.
Definitely not the father.
It's not possible. You can't have sex. You can't look at it again. Look at it again. When what was described as the sons of God began to meet with the daughters of men, there is a perversion. You see, the devil uses this action of sex outside marriage as a point of perversion. It is extremely dangerous for two people to have sex outside marriage, because at that time the devil is totally in charge of that action. You cannot tell him to what extent he can use that particular opportunity. The action of sex before marriage, the action of sex outside marriage, is not overseen by God. God is not the overseer of that action. So if God is not the overseer of the action, the devil and demons are the overseers of that action. Because if that is an aftermath of lust, who is the overseer of lust? It's the devil. So if the devil is overseeing a particular action at the moment, you can't tell the extent that he will do things during that action.
Yeah. He's controlling the sheep at that point.
So when he controls, when you finish, you now ask yourself, we love each other. And they ask you, uncle, auntie, what type of love? Say the love of the father, agape love.
Agape.
Eros, filio, and agape.
Filia.
Three in one.
The love of the father. No, that's not the love of the father. That is a perverted action that has been overseen by demons and evil spirits.
Mm-hmm.
The same way God oversees the intimate relationship between a believer and himself, that's the same way demons oversee
the intimate relationship
between unbelievers.
Mm. I want to chip in this place. This is why anytime they say, okay, he's not a Christian, but we are in love and we want to get married. It can't be. You can't. Hey, Jesus.
Go make sense.
It can't work. Because you cannot be having intimate relationship with somebody whose spirit does not belong to the same person your spirit belongs to.
Mm. Being not unequally yoked.
It can't.
That's the true meaning of being not unequally yoked.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if it's my pastor that said that, that actually gave me the visual representation of this equally yoked. You know what they call being yoked? In the old days, I don't know if they still do it now, but when they want to mate two animals, they tie them to each other. Okay. It is neck. That it, from one neck to the other neck. It is that alignment is what is called being yoked.
Hmm.
So you are, after being tied to each other for that long, they begin to mate. Mm. That is what being yoked is. So when the Bible says, be not unequally yoked, it's saying, you cannot be saying, okay, I'm worshipping Jesus, and then he's worshipping another faith. And then two of you are going in different directions. It's not possible. You are tied.
Mm.
You are tied to each other. Mm. So you cannot be worshipping the same God and say, we are happy as long as our there's this word Gen Z use this word a lot. I can't remember at the moment, but he say we are happy. He makes me feel good. He doesn't beat me. He listens to me. So we are fine. We don't have to go to church together. He can go to whatever way he worships his own God, and then I go to church, and then we our children can choose. Are you mad?
Pardon our French.
Sorry, I'm so sorry. But how can you say you are raising generations and you say they can choose whichever? That means you don't know your God.
Mm. Yeah.
Because if you know your God and if you know the mandate upon you, you will not bring children into this world and say whatever they want to choose. Who are you? My son already knows. He knows from now that he doesn't have a choice. This God, we will serve him all the days of our lives.
Yes, I and my children are for signs and
wonders.
Yes.
So you cannot be equally yoked. You cannot come and tell me we are in love. That is not the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
That means, imagine a relationship, two of you cannot sit down together and pray.
Mm.
And you have sex.
Well, they pray, they just pray in different ways.
And then they will not be having sex.
One prays, okay, don't let me mention.
Then you will not align your spirit, soul, and body.
Look, I think that's one of the most scariest things in this conversation. The alignment you talked about, like, it really does broke in my mind when she spoke of the point of orgasm and then everything does align. I mean,
that perfect that moment.
Mm-hmm. At that point is
and then you
is,
now carry an unbeliever like, and get take yourself like, to that point with the person.
It's like when you watch all these science fiction movies and then they say that like in 1,000 years
the moon and the sun align. Yeah,
so that's like what
so
sex
that opportunity,
is.
Yeah.
So it's like one opportunity whereby anything that,
like a window is open.
It's open. And if you are not rooted in Christ, that opening, that just, window, anything can enter.
Anything can enter, and it's like it can enter body, soul and spirit. So it's not even, you are not limiting it to one dimension. It's
so you are opening
three
all the
dimensions.
Doors.
All the portals are open.
Exactly. If they can deposit anywhere and hide anywhere.
So please, sex is not a determinant for love.
Wow.
The order is that first you understand what love is, and then two people love first. Alright, and then after they have loved and they have been wedded within the confines of scripture, after that you will now then the marriage can be consummated. Praise God. Which is the sex.
Yeah. Wow. I'm sure we've been blessed so far. Okay, so now let's go to the next kind of or subject matter. Now we want to look at, now we've established sex, what sex is. Sex is fellowship, and then sex outside of marriage is perverse and it cannot produce anything that is true or anything that is righteous. And then we've also established that sex is not a determinant for love. So now I know we've addressed this conversation or this particular point quite a number of times, but the scripture says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Sometimes we need to say things two times, three times, four times for it to sink in properly. Now, we know that we can't have sex before marriage. We've established that it is, to understand the gravity of it, it is forbidden to have sex before marriage, all right? Now, since we can't do that, then how can we measure, quote unquote, sexual compatibility if we can't test the waters?
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
First, I'd like to ask, what is compatibility?
Act of being compatible.
you know.
I should open dictionary.
What you see? Are you fixing two things into a socket to know whether it matches the holes? What is this compatibility? If you are asking that you want to know, you know, the level of, you know, the thing is, sexual compatibility is birthed from a place of expectation.
Yeah.
Sexual compatibility is not just a question of, oh, I want to know something about my partner or the person I intend to marry. Sexual compatibility is birthed from a place of expectation, a place of thinking that sex is just pleasurable and fun alone. It is pleasurable. Yes, it is fun. Yes, part of the perks of having sex is that it is pleasurable to the body, to the physical body. All right? And it is fun to the physical body. But what you are asking, what the person, you see, sometimes when people ask questions, we're not looking at the question that they've asked. We need to check the intent of the question. Jesus did this when he asked the governor, Pilate, when he asked him. He asked him, he said, are you asking this question of your own volition? Alright? So there are times that we need to test the intent of particular questions. Why are you asking about sexual compatibility? Why does a person want to know what is going to happen inside the marriage when you've not even gotten there? Yeah. Especially within sex. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you can't find out things. We can't discuss things. We can discuss that, if there are maybe health limitations here and there for each person, it is possible to discuss those things. Now that is fine. But sexual compatibility, as people are trying to do
in terms of efficiency.
Exactly. It makes it feel like you want to check. Is it one horsepower? Is it two horsepower?
Exactly.
Is it AC? Is the engine 50 kV? Can it carry this amount of weight?
Yes.
Those are not the questions that we should be asking. That's not the questions for sexual compatibility. Yes, we need to find out. We need to know. You see, to measure sexual efficiency, quote unquote, is, you know, what is called libido. Somebody has a higher libido, the other person doesn't have a libido as high as you know. Yes. But you see, within the confines of marriage, it is both of you starting on a note that is called tabula rasa, empty slate.
Empty slate.
slate.
As the mind of a child.
Alright? We know tabula rasa is the mind of a child. Empty slate. Clean. If you don't start on a clean note, you are saying this person doesn't satisfy me. Compared to what?
Compared to who?
Compared to who? What are you measuring your satisfaction rate by?
Tested what?
At what point does it become satisfying?
Hanging on the fan.
Don't start this hanging on the fan. At what point does it become satisfying? And what is satisfaction in itself? That's the question. What is satisfaction? If two people who do not have any form of experience start by trying or attempting to give each other the bodily pleasure within the confines of what scripture has defined for us and what we've seen earlier. At what point do you think you are not satisfied?
They are their own limits.
At what point? These things, it moves as it is. You see, if both people are both you know, husband and wife, if they are both clean slates, and we've said this over and over and over again, if they are both clean slates, their measurement level is zero. So the day somebody gives 1.5 and the other person is at zero, 1.5 is satisfactory to zero. The next time, if we move to say 2.5, we move to 2.5 together. So the comparison and the point of sexual compatibility is a question that points to a point of reference. So what is the point of reference? How do we say that we are asking for sexual compatibility and we claim that there is no reference? If there is no reference, then what is sexual compatibility? Compared to what?
True.
Compared to who? So if we answer that question truthfully and say, oh, now don't get me wrong, there are situations where in marriage one person might feel like, it's a bodily thing. You might not understand what the feeling is, but you might just feel somehow maybe it is not as pleasurable. Let me use the word. Okay? That is where the communication comes in. Don't forget that two people are coming from two different backgrounds.
Yes.
That is where the communication comes in. It is the same thing that happens when you say, oh, I don't think that the way my wife seasons food is the way my mother seasons food. You know that if you talk about compatibility in terms of taste buds, you have a reference point.
Yes.
You will say, oh, this is not the way we cook beans in our house.
Yes.
Abi? So we say this is not the way we have sex in our house.
Very absurd to say sex.
Do you know what I'm saying? You say, so even if you now get to the point where you say, oh, maybe, oh, my wife, my husband, this doesn't feel good to me.
Can we try?
That is the point of communication. That is it. And it might seem very absurd and far-fetched, but guess what? The Holy Spirit will teach you all things.
Yeah.
He didn't specify what the things are. He said all things.
He covers everything.
He might not come and whisper into your ear that, my son, try this. No. But you see, scripture says he is in us to will and to do. If we are doing things under the, remember what we talked about when we said there's a spirit that oversees everything.
If
it is the Spirit of God that is overseeing the sex that you are having, and there is a sincerity of heart that one person doesn't feel as pleasure, we are not just doing these things out in oblivion. We are also communicating with him as we do this, if we are actual believers. Heavenly Father, this sex, we don't understand it, though. We don't know how it's going. You see, it seems very stupid. It seems very absurd. Yeah. How will you ask the Father that you don't how will you ask the Holy Spirit, I don't understand this sex matter? But you think if you ask him, he wouldn't tell you?
He will tell you.
We think that sexual compatibility and all of these things that this particular subject is sex is something that is just me and my wife. It's just our body now. We don't need to involve the Holy Spirit in this matter. No, the Holy Spirit is involved. If you are in the confines within the boundaries of a Christian marriage, done the way God wants us to do it, the Holy Spirit is involved.
Very much involved.
He's involved even in the action. So sexual compatibility should not be what you should be asking outside the marriage. If you're asking, oh, how do I know that my my sexual pleasure will play? Hey, what is your sexual pleasure? Define your sexual pleasure first. How do you know your sexual pleasure when you've not tried anything?
And then we now end up, we sometimes give ourselves these anxieties over nothing. You read you read blog posts, you read Instagram posts, man leaves wife because wife cannot satisfy man, and then we consume these things and begin to make hypotheses in our head. So what if I marry a man that is, what will I do if, why are you, what, why are you giving yourself this headache? What did, surely God says he promises you everything good. God will not give you something that is not good to you or good for you. As long as it is God-given, as long as you have followed the right way and you have gotten there the right way and you are sure that this is God's plan for you, this is whom God has planned for you to be with, everything that comes with that will be good as long as you go back to the source. And if it is not, if you don't feel like it is good, you go, daddy, how far? When I was doing this, you told me this is right for me, oh. But now, see what I am seeing, see what I am experiencing. It might seem like it's silly. You know, the world will tell you that you are being over spiritual. That it's not everything, it's not everything. But it is everything. It is everything. See, daddy, see, oh, this thing that you said I should go ahead and do, this is how I am feeling in this thing. I am not feeling like it is, I don't feel right. This is not how I feel like it should go. Daddy, what should we do? That is why communion in your marriage is very, very important. You communicate, you fellowship together. So there is no subject that you can't discuss.
There is no subject that you can't pray about.
You can't pray about. Two of you hold hands and say, Father, our sex life is not going the way we thought it would. Father, help us. And he will help you. It sounds mundane. It sounds silly. It sounds stupid. It sounds like...
It shouldn't even be said.
Because the world has perversed sex so much that we think it's something we should talk about in hushed tones. You want to talk about sex, you cover your mouth and you...
When they teach us organs in biology, there's just this weird...
Everybody is looking. It's sex. God created it, and God created it for a purpose.
Okay, so which now leads me to the next question. So what about people who have already engaged in sex, people who have had sex before, and now
maybe they've had this experience you get them, about, exactly, like they have something to compare exactly with,
and then they now make the decision to be maybe celibate and said, okay, I'm not doing this anymore, but they still have those fears of, hey, how do I get married? So if I'm going into this and I've experienced this, what if my wife, what if my husband doesn't perform up to the kind of experiences I've had? So what do we say to such people?
All right. First of all, there are two things you raised. And the first is somebody who has had sex, you know, and then wants to be celibate. And the other thing is that person now, you know, expecting certain things or comparing what he might find in his marriage to what he might find to what he has experienced. Good. The first thing is that everyone who has had sex before marriage and wants to be celibate has the mercy of God. You see, scripture has shown us that there is nothing that could have been done by a person that is not forgiven. You can be forgiven. Your past can be wiped clean, and then you start again. Alright? Now, don't let us forget that there are consequences to actions, whether spiritual or physical. Grace gives you the ability to start afresh, just like, you know, somebody who has sex and then some of those physical consequences we talked about before, you know, getting pregnant and all of those
STIs.
Yes, STIs and all. There are also spiritual consequences. So a person that has decided to be celibate and wants to come to God and now follow the right path, all right, must also know that he also must deal with those spiritual consequences too. Must also decide that he would pray and ask that everything, or you know, like what we've discussed, every door that might have been opened, every tie or everything that might have been deposited and all of those things, you know, to properly do a proper
exploration
of all the things that might have been that might have been dropped or might have been done at that time. All right, because that is important for a person who wants to be celibate. Being celibate does not just mean I stopped having sex. Being celibate also means I stop every sexual action, every sexual fueling action, every action that can fuel the passion for sex. So you can't say you want to be celibate and you are still reading sex novels. You can't say you want to be celibate and you are still watching movies that will fuel sex. You can't say you want to be celibate and you are still listening to songs, listening to songs that want to fuel that will fuel sex. You can't say you want to be celibate and you are on all you are watching is, you know, I don't want to mention TV stations and all, and what you are watching is things that would continue to fuel the desire for sex. So being celibate is not just the action of I don't want to have sex anymore. No. Being celibate is an entire change. It's an entire U-turn. It's an entire change in a person's lifestyle. Being celibate also means I stop listening to a particular genre of music. Being celibate means being celibate means I stop watching particular videos. I refuse particular content from entering my soul
intentionally.
Yes, intentionally, because those things would eventually fuel the sex action. All right, so that's one. Again, you want to be celibate, there is grace. There is grace. If anybody is listening to this podcast and decides that he or she wants to be celibate, in the name of Jesus, receive grace.
Amen.
Receive Amen. Grace.
Amen.
Receive grace. Amen. If you want to have, if you need strength, in the name of Jesus, receive strength.
Amen.
To take major decisions.
Amen.
To take decisions that would improve your life.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
All right. Now, the next thing is, I have had sex before. Now, I have expectations in my marriage because I have experienced certain things. It takes a lot of self-control and God control.
God control.
Because yes, those things that you have experienced before are lurking somewhere. All right? It is like somebody who has learned to drive for a while, has learned to drive and then stopped driving for a long time. The first time you start driving again, you might be shaky a little. You will get a hang of it. But then it will bring back certain memories. The day where you were on Third Milan Bridge and the road was free and you went to 140. The day you would also get to Third Milan Bridge and then you want to go to 140 or go to 160 again, it might not be as you did it when you started driving the first time. It's the same way. There might be little hitches here and there. You might feel like, oh, this person is not doing it as so-and-so person did it when I was at that particular time. Those things are things that you should not have that as a yardstick. Because again, that can fuel immorality even within the marriage.
Yeah.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
I heard a preacher say that one of the deepest ties that people have, especially sexual ties, is with their first and their best. All right, so those two become comparison and yardstick for every other person that comes into the man or woman's life. Especially when you are married, you are thinking of your first
or your best.
Oh, this person did this. Why is this my husband or my wife now not doing this? This person used to do this. Why is this person not doing this? Again, the levels of communication that has to be implemented here is such that, first of all, you pray about this. Because that's not the plan. The plan is not that you come in having points of reference, having multiple points of reference for one person to satisfy. Mm. That's not the plan. The plan is that you come in with two people being clean slates, and those two clean slates grow together. Yes, now it has happened. Oh, one person is not a clean slate, or both people are not clean slates, and they want to grow together. First thing is that you have to commit it to the Holy Spirit. Because again, the devil is the accuser of the brethren. Mm-hmm. One day something happens, it doesn't gel. You're like, I don't feel it the way I felt, so and so. Mm. And then the devil gives an arrangement. You are going out or you are going to work. You meet that person. You meet that person.
So in the supermarket.
Get away. Walk, get away. Walk, retreat.
Oh, no.
And Mr. So-and-so that was doing something to you at one time
is there.
You see, these are the little things that we need to...
Team or her.
These are the things that we need to, from the onset, begin to work on. Yes, again, it is possible that you have these points of reference. But it is what you do with those points of references. There is no one man that can fulfill the entire... You have been with, you know, five people before you got married. There's no one person that will be those five people put together in one.
No.
There is no... That one person does not exist. As you grow with that person... Another thing, one thing that causes a lot of issue is the issue of expectations. Mm. You know, having had sex before marriage gives any of these people or both parties, if in that case, expectations. Oh, Jennifer did it this way. Oh, Martins did it this way. Why is my husband not doing what Martins did? And why is my wife rather not doing what Jennifer did? So that expectation is what needs to be managed spiritually. What I said earlier, there is self-control and there is God control. Again, all things were made by him, and without him was nothing made that was made. Sex was made by him. He knows the mode of operation. He knows what is happening during the sex. Don't let us be too spiritual. Mm. He knows what God knows. God knows the action. What is going on, he knows. So he's not oblivious of it. He did not just create something and he just left you to be doing it. No. So as you speak to him concerning sexual compatibility, because I don't even believe that thing is. I don't like to use the word. You know, I like to use expectations. There's nothing. I like to use expectations. As you speak to him concerning your expectations for the physicality that will happen during sex with you and your spouse, as you commune with God and ask those questions, the same way you will commune with God and ask those questions when you get into the marriage concerning the expectations of both of you. And that is why we say that in a marriage, there is nothing that a couple should not be able to pray about together.
Yep.
Including sex.
So, dear daddy, this and this and this is not going the way we thought it was going to go. What should we do?
Help us.
And you think he's not listening? He's listening. So there are no boundaries as to what to ask the father during marriage. Mm-mm. So yes. Guilt is another thing that the devil uses a lot. It makes you feel guilty. It makes you feel filthy. You're not filthy. You're not dirty. No. The blood of Jesus is a covering. The blood of Jesus is a covering. The blood of Jesus can wash anything clean. So regardless of whatever you think you have done, the blood can wash you clean. The blood can wash you clean. Now, when the blood has washed clean, we also now have to start from the standpoint of what Scripture expects us to do as Christians. How do we create a home that is godly? A home that is based on the precepts of God. A home where you are not comparing your husband to the first person that you had sex with. All right, Praise God. So eventually, the expectations has to be based not on our experiences, but on the journey, on the new journey that we are going with our husband or wife and the Holy Spirit. Hmm. Don't forget that we talked about the Trinity earlier. Mm. Our husband and our wife and the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, yeah.
Now that is the kind of compatibility we should be asking about. Holy Spirit, how compatible are the three of us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually.
So it's not really sexual compatibility, yes. spiritual compatibility.
Exactly. Hmm. It's not the compatibility with the Holy Spirit. What is the sexual compatibility is not what we're asking now. It is spiritual. That is the crux of this matter.
What should we work on? Where are the lapses?
Exactly. Alright? And leave these trivial issues of, you know.
Okay, but then again, I would like to have a female perspective. Okay. So because I know there's this saying that there are no guys out there, so anybody you find, they tell ladies that any guy you see, that there are not a lot of guys out there, so anyone you see, just grab him and do anything to keep him. And I know ladies they are under more pressure to marry, and then they are also under more pressure as regards the sexual compatibility, because guys will always tell them that how would I marry if I don't test you, and then even parents even encourage or tell their daughters that no, you have to get pregnant for him. It's normal, that's the way you get acceptable. From a female perspective, what do you think about this entire thing? What we tell the lady listening, based on the truths that we've heard?
Well, the thing is, like we've said, I think we've over buttressed this point. I don't think it's impossible to over buttress it. You need to realize that, first of all, you can't, I believe I'm talking to believers.
Yeah.
You can't be looking for marriage outside the will of God. Hmm. You can't be looking for marriage outside of God. So you now tell me that you will just go on the street and just find the next available man. You can't do that. God has prepared all things, once again, all things for you. And if you're under any sort of pressure, you know, pressure can be applied. But if the thing builds a certain sort of resistance to the pressure that is applied, the pressure will not affect it.
Yes.
So even if pressure, where is your secret place? What are you doing in that secret place? Are you reassuring yourself? Are you building a repellent to this pressure in your secret place? Or are you just absorbing? Which is why I have a huge problem with people who don't guard their hearts and go on social media, on the media itself, that's TV, radio, and just accept anything that is dropped there for them. You need to build a certain form of resistance on your own. And all these things we're saying, we're not saying it is easy. We're not saying it's just something you stand up and do on your own. It will never be easy on your own. But that's where you have the help of the Holy Spirit. He said that, "And I will send to you a helper, and he will be your comforter, and he will guide you into all truth." So is the Holy, are you building your resistance with the Holy Spirit? Are you saying, "Bro, see you, the way this thing is doing, I don't like this thing my mommy is saying, I don't like this thing my daddy is saying, please help me. If it is not time, you have told me it's not time yet, help me to remain steadfast to your promise. Help me not to wither under the pressure that is being put upon me." And you would see that he would make things easier for you.
Yeah, for he makes all things
beautiful. He makes all things beautiful. Exactly. So don't pressure here, pressure. There is man there for you. There is man.
Yes. Actually.
Hallelujah.
For you, there is man.
There is man there for you.
I mean, and then this sexual sexual compatibility. Some of you don't even have man. You are thinking of whether you and the man will be compatible. You've not found man yet. You don't have man in your life yet. You are reading somewhere that they said that even though she married a virgin, when she entered the marriage, she still couldn't attain a certain level of satisfaction inside the sex that they are having. You know, I didn't want to mention names, but those are the people.
I mean, that's where you get these stories from now. Some people base their relationship
and they don't realize that some of these things are not even real.
They are fiction. God bless you. Many of those things don't even exist.
They are fiction. Somebody, one writer just sits down somewhere and then begins to create. It's content creation. You are using your life
to make money from it. A lot of money.
You put your whole life inside somebody's imaginative world. Something that somebody has sat down and created a story, and then you now base your life off of this story. What are you listening to? What are you opening your heart to?
What are you feeding yourself?
Why do you think that the Holy Spirit of that God will allow you, His child, that He sent His Son to die for, to go through that kind of thing? God is not, there is nothing bad in God. All things in God are good. There is no bad in God. So why do you think that God will lead you into something that is bad? He will give you bad marriage. He will give you bad sex.
Wow.
Why do you think so? That God will just carry you and say, oh, okay, this one, let me fling her to this side. God is intentional with you and with everything that He does about you.
Yes.
So you can be rest assured that, okay, He said I should wait. Okay, I will wait. And by the time He has done all that He has promised me that He will do, He will give me the best. The very best. So please, all these compatibility issues, it's in your mind. That is why we keep saying, what are you feeding your mind? It is in your mind. It is what you have fed on and you have believed to be true that will now begin to manifest in your life.
Exactly.
So feed on the right things.
Yeah. Feed on the word. Feed on the right things. Yeah. Okay. So just bring everything back home. Like in conclusion, like just drop something for us as we go.
Give us the lonely word.
Okay. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
First things first, we've established certain things. At first is that sex is not just a physical action. It is not just a physical action.
Mm-hmm.
It is not just something that is done. No. There are several points with which this can be engaged, and we've done certain points of this. So sex is a representation of the unification that is found in the Trinity. That's why sex is in the confines of man, woman, and the Holy Spirit in marriage. Because already marriage is man, woman, and the Holy Spirit. Man, woman, and Christ, if you say man, woman, and Christ. Alright? So God in three persons giving that unification, it's the same thing. Within the confines of marriage, there is that. So sex is the reason you should not have sex before marriage is not because of unwanted pregnancy. No. It is because sex before marriage opens a person up to have a perverseness of what the original plan is. And that perverseness is overseen by the devil. And if it is overseen by the devil, you cannot quantify what the devil can do with something that he oversees.
He has the power,
exactly.
Jurisdiction.
So why we do not have sex as believers before marriage is not because we are scared of STIs, no, of sexually transmitted infections, no. We are scared of spiritually transmitted infections. That is what we are scared of. We are scared of things that cross. Because again, like we said, it is an intimate knowing. And knowing births. The same way your fellowship, your koinonia, alright, births something. The same way revelation is birthed from koinonia. Mm-hmm. It's the same way what you birth from a sex that is conceived in marriage under the influence of God is a revelation of some sort. Are we together?
Yeah, yeah.
So this is the plan of God for sex. This is why and how we have sex. Sex is not a mere platform for enjoyment. No. It is more than that, and that is not what, that is not how and why we do what we do. Mm. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Again, if there's anybody here who thinks, or anybody listening to this, who thinks that in all of this, he or she wants to experience this glorious activity, this pleasure that we discussed within the confines of marriage. If anybody wants to experience that, you can only experience that when you even know the person that oversees that type of activity.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you do not know God that oversees the activity of sex within marriage, then you cannot understand this and experience it.
Oh.
So this is as much as a call to stop having sex as it is a call for salvation.
Oh.
So this does not end with stop having sex because sex is not... No, that's not where this... The eventuality of this is that come to the Father who can show you what love is, and then you understand that that Father is the person that oversees his activity, and he would explain and give you understanding as to why these things are the way they are. So we move beyond don't have sex. We move to come and accept the love of the Father. We move beyond sexism. We move beyond that. We move to the love of the Father. And if anybody is here that wants to accept Christ, please, wherever you are, just say after me, Lord Jesus, I realize myself as being cut away from you in my state. I accept that I am a sinner, and I ask that your blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary for the remission of sin would wash me clean, make me whole. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
If you have said this, you are born again.
Hallelujah.
Right?
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Welcome to the family.
You're welcome.
Now that you are in the family, then we can now begin to talk about the precepts of this family. And it is within these confines of you being in this family that we have said all that we have said.
Yep.
All that we have said is not for unbelievers. Who. Mm. Unbelievers don't understand what we've said.
No.
They don't even get it.
The mystery.
They don't see a reason why we're saying half the things we're saying. To them, they think, oh, you are a fanatic, you are just talking. No.
Your own is too much.
Yeah, your own is too much. You over spiritualize everything.
Pastor.
But now that you are a believer, please find a Bible believing church to attend, and then we begin to learn and walk with God. Little by little, one step at a time. He holding you by the hand and leading you by the way.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
God bless you and God bless you. Amen.
Wow. Amen.
Wow. Thank you for having us.
This has been an awesome experience. One analogy came to me as Joshua rounded up. If you've ever bought a car with your money, or you've ever bought anything with your money, there's just a way you take care of that thing.
Mm.
I mean, there's a way you carry it, there's a way you treasure it. I mean, scripture says that we have been bought by the blood. Jesus Christ paid the price for you. He paid the price for your body, your soul, and your spirit. So that's how much he loves you, and that's how much he wants to take care of you. So you are not just you are not just an afterthought or something that he just conjured up. You are actually special to him. And then he wants to be involved in every area of your life, including your sexual life, all right? Obviously within the confines of marriage. This has been an awesome time. I've had I'm in faith. What? I don't know. The tables have.
You see that I kept quiet because I had to go and start ruminating and thinking. But it has been an amazing experience, and we want to say thank you to the man and woman of God.
The man of God and the woman of God.
We want to say a big thank you for coming on Love the Jesus Way. I want you guys to come more. I think we should even expand the table, have like 5 or 6 more people, you know, coming together and we'll discuss these things. And guys, yes, they have a page where, you know, they have a page on Twitter where, you know, they share the word of God. They help us. They just talk about the love of God, edifying content. And the Twitter handle is __lightup__. So if you use Twitter, even if you don't use Twitter, please go and create a Twitter account. Follow that account. Trust me, you are going to be blessed. So until next time, Ebenezer, I think you should come and sign out.
I think you should just let me mend to my injuries.
All right, guys, thank you for coming to our YouTube channel.
Yeah, we love you.
Yeah, YouTube channel.
Click on subscribe. Don't forget to subscribe.
There's follow now.
Okay, so follow us. Follow us, like, share. Make sure you share this with somebody if it has blessed you. Thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you. Peace out. Love you.
Peace. I don't know who that is. Bye bye.